Yeah. Just hold that. Hold it like a couple inches away from your face. Just like that, yeah. We can hear your thoughts.
You don't want to hear those. I'm just kidding.
Dude, it's like Joe Rogan always talks about how, what's Tesla?
Elon Musk?
Yeah. How he talks about Elon Musk says that we're going to be able to read each other's thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, hell no.
Yeah,
I'm not getting into that.
I think that's kind of a rabbit hole we're starting with.
Yeah.
But the moment that we can choose to hear each other's thoughts is like the moment, like World War, whether it's 3 or 4, really begins, because, you know, in the public, human beings have to choose to be friendly and agreeable.
Yes.
Like, and that's okay, because it's human nature to have these weird thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a Christian, so I believe it, that like sin is a part of human nature.
Yeah.
Right. And so
yeah,
naturally we have these thoughts, and when we act on them, that defines our character. Right. But like, having the thought in and of itself doesn't make you a bad person. But if people were to hear my thoughts, they would be like, that guy is horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, that just popped up there.
Dude,
I didn't choose to have that there. Like,
right.
But I suppressed it and didn't act on it. Therefore, hopefully people would think that I'm a relatively good person. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
if Elon comes out with that, we're all screwed.
Yeah.
And
dude,
some people are really screwed. Like, people you wouldn't even expect.
Well, I think about it, because I'm like, sometimes I'll just be like talking to somebody and I'm annoyed and I'm like, I just want to punch this dude in the face.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But you don't do it.
Yeah.
And then you probably still shake his hand when you're done talking.
Exactly, yeah. You're cordial and stuff. But then like, that dude might also have the thought of, okay, I want to punch him in the face, like meaning me. But he gets to it first, and I'm like, whoa, I wasn't going to actually do it. I just had the thought to punch you in the face.
It's like a psychological sock 'em boppers.
Exactly. Like,
oh, man. Well, I hope nobody ever gets a hold of that.
Yeah.
Are we filming right now?
We're filming.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
we're filming.
Cool.
We started. I've been doing like an intro to the podcast for every single one, but I feel like I'm not going to do it anymore.
No,
I don't think
cool.
I have to intro it. Yeah.
I think, you know, I always appreciate how organic Joe Rogan's is, and I know that they hang out before. They always do like cool stuff before. Like, not that we like did anything unique, but you and I already kind of chatted prior to sitting up here and starting this conversation.
Yeah.
One thing I always, because I've had a podcast in the past, and like the worst thing is whenever you get on a really good conversation before the mic starts and you're like, let's redo that. And it's just hard to redo a good conversation. But I do like avoiding the intro, and maybe you edit one in later or something like, I know Lex Friedman edits like an intro in or something like that. But anyways, this has been cool to not.
No. I think that's the best, like, that's the most consumable type of podcast, right? Is the type that it just seems like a conversation. It's not like, dude, because I've had a couple of athletes, to be honest with you, where I'm like, it's all like I have to interview them because they don't know how to talk.
Conversate. Yeah.
And so I guess this will kind of go into like your job, right? But yeah, they don't know how to like speak. They're not. And not that I think people should be media trained, because I also think that's a really bad thing. But it's almost like
politics.
Yeah, it's almost like you ask somebody a question, they know exactly how to answer it, and then it's
on to the
next. Oh,
yeah.
Geez. All right. Well, I guess we can't be friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, in what do you do?
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
I'm an entrepreneur, so I do a handful of things, but more specifically, I own a company called E3 Business and Sport, which I would split it right down the middle. I do business consulting, and then I do athlete management or agency work. I'm an agent in the CrossFit space.
Sweet.
So I have a small handful of CrossFit Games athletes that I work with, try to create opportunities for, and that's the main reason why I'm here.
Nice, man. How did you get into that?
So I'm not great at short stories, but I will wrap this up in a little nice basket.
Doesn't have to be short. This is your story. We're telling your story.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So 2015, I started a company called Superfit Foods. I sold it in 2021.
Wow. What was that?
When or what?
What was it?
So it's called Superfit Foods. It was a subscription-based healthy meal prep company. We shipped meals all, very much like Trifecta, just a little bit less dominant in the CrossFit market space. Love you, Justin. See you later, brother. Much less dominant in the CrossFit space, more, I wouldn't even use the word dominant, but more prevalent in the general wellness space.
Cool.
Based out of Jacksonville, Florida. Big difference between like a brand like Trifecta is Superfit Foods was fully customizable. So if you had any diet preferences, you could log in, create a profile, and then we would prepare meals based on your profile. Pretty unique
That's dope.
Company. But I was really lucky and fortunate to be able to exit the company in 2021, sold it to a public company out of Texas. It's still, they're running it, building it, so it's still in existence. And I took a year-long road trip around the country in 2021. And doing that road trip, met a ton of people, right? Because if you're a CrossFitter and if you do a cross-country road trip, I probably trained in over 100 CrossFit gyms. It's where I met Kotler originally. Yeah. It's how I met Cooper. There's one of the athletes
walking by
that I work with.
Nice.
Mr. Vigneault. So yeah, I met a handful of people, and I've been a big fan of the sport of CrossFit long before I was actually like involved physically in the methodology. I've been in the fitness space a long time. With that being said, I was inspired to start a competition called the Zalos Games, which started online in 2021, really post-COVID era. I wanted to create an opportunity for athletes all over the world to compete against each other and earn some money. So in starting that competition, I met Cooper and Jason from Lab Management. And they, to make a long story short, inspired me based on, I guess, some of my personability and my sociability and my business background. I think it was either Cooper or Jason that suggested I might be good at this line of work. I didn't really know where to start, though, because it's like a chicken and egg problem. It's like, do I just say that I'm an agent?
Yeah.
And then go out and find athletes? Right. Or do I find an athlete and then say I'm an agent?
Right.
And to be honest with you, this is such a new vocation in the CrossFit world that I even feel a little bit like imposter syndrome saying the word agent. I prefer management just because, like, none of us had to get a law degree to do what we do necessarily.
Sure.
So that's how it started. And then, so Ariel Lowen won the Zalos Games online that first year in 2021. And I was already familiar with her from the games because I was near a crowd of people that continued to cheer for her.
Mm.
She got, I believe, 13th or 14th her first year. Kind of went under the radar, though. But I recognized her, and she won the Zalos Games. So I connected with everybody that got, like, top 10 in the Zalos Games and just did a debrief. Like, how did you enjoy the competition? And I recognized she didn't have an agent. I referred her to Lab Management. And then Cooper called me and was like, hey, Ariel reached out. Why don't you work with Ariel under the Lab Management banner? And so that's an incredible opportunity. At the time, I wasn't, like, I had sold the company. I was pretty independent, just doing the consulting. And so I asked Coop and Jason if they would teach me a little bit of how that all works. And of course, like I said, I had some business acumen and some social ability. And so me and Ariel began to work together. She trusted me to figure it out, and I trusted her to, well, to continue doing what she was doing.
Keep being an athlete.
Not much required of her end until obviously contracts come into play.
Sure.
So that's how it all started for me. And then, of course, I didn't really want to take on more athletes that first year. Not that they were, like, knocking on my door.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give it a good year with Ariel to see, like, A, am I good at this?
Yep.
Like, can I get her opportunities? I guess in relation to other people at her level or caliber or social following, etc. And then B, do I enjoy it?
Right.
Right? Because you can be good at something and not enjoy it. I don't think you should do that for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, after 1 year, I would say that she was well pleased. I was happy with the results. And then I started working with one more and one more and one more. And so that was, I think, close to 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
And I've continued to just, I would say, mostly organically build upon that. Yeah, so that's how it all started.
That's really cool, man. How old are you right now?
I'm 33.
33, okay. So did you go to school? Did you take the college route?
Yeah, so like out of high school, I went to college for like 2 straight years full time, got my associate's degree. My like whole teenage years is a totally different story, but during that time, I became management at a health club chain, really started to grow in that part of my life and that profession. Stopped doing school for 3 or 4 years, went back part-time, and did like 1 or 2 classes a semester for almost 10 years. So I bounced from like I had a business degree or associate's in business, and then I changed to exercise science, then nutrition, then sports management, ultimately finished with a dual major in psychology and marketing.
So like completely different from where you started.
Yeah, the way that I saw it was like a lot of what I do, a lot of the things that I'm interested in, is people.
Yeah.
Right? And so psychology to me has always been fascinating. And so I just kind of geared towards that. And then if you think about marketing in general, what up, Gino? Hey, Louisa. George. And so the people aspect, but understanding why people do the things that they do has always been interesting to me. And so I figured I would like dig a little bit more into the academic side of that. And then marketing, I would say, like, if somebody wanted to be good at marketing, get a psychology degree first.
Yeah.
More than a marketing degree. Marketing will teach you like a lot of the commercial elements of marketing and business. But a lot of people, when they think marketing, they think advertising, like social media advertising. But psychology for me is like, if you want to market a product or a service or an athlete to people, get a psychology degree.
You got to understand why people buy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the, you know, and this is another rabbit hole, but the interesting thing about psychology is that the majority of it, if not all of it, it's not a measurable science.
Right.
Right. Like in psychology, E doesn't equal MC squared all the time.
Right. Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's almost a double-edged sword. Like the more that you think you know about psychology, it's dangerous because then you begin to assume why people do the things that they do. But in reality, just like we were talking about in the very beginning with people's thoughts, people don't know why they're doing the things that they do most of the time. So when you begin to try to assume it based on your degree, it's a slippery slope. So
yeah,
I'm still very much a student of why people do the things that they do, of myself as well, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to school, marketing and psychology.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. When getting into athlete management, how important do you think it is that the person, I don't know how to say this, I've been trying to ask different athletes this, and I think I did one manager too, but I've been trying to figure out how important it is for the athlete to also be personable, have a social media understanding rather than just be an athlete, right? So like be a character in their own movie type thing. I feel like a lot of athletes, and not to their own fault, they're just doing the athlete thing and they're not really showing much of their life, right? And so working with brands, that's one of the ways that athletes can be full-time athletes because they need to make an income. How important is it to separate the athlete thing from the personality?
To separate them?
I guess not separate them, but to not just show the athlete side of who they
are. Okay, yeah. Like, how important is it? Is it to expose the, like, the human element?
Yeah,
of the athlete?
Because in my eyes, right, if I'm gonna buy like a belt from Colton Mertens or something, right, I'm gonna do it because I like love Colton as like a person, not just because he's an athlete that I follow.
You've been exposed to his values and the way he lives his life. So to answer your question, super important.
Yeah,
but in different ways, because I think most brands, the ones that have the smart brands that can kind of observe well, can see when people are faking like their personal branding,
sure,
right? And I don't think that happens a lot, but I think it's super important to be yourself. The tough part about that is as many people in general, but many CrossFit athletes are relatively introverted. But there's a way to go about exposing yourself to the world as an introvert as well. It's just harder.
Yeah.
So, you know, generally speaking, I think the extroverted athletes that are also very good probably have an advantage with brands because, like you said, you want to get to know the athletes, and the more you know the athletes, and the more at least you think you know the athletes from their social exposure, the more biased you are towards the products that they're promoting.
Right, yeah.
And that's marketing, right?
Yeah.
The unique thing about Colton is that he's super introverted. I don't know him personally, but just from, you know, he's kind of came out in the past couple years.
Yeah.
And he talks about that on the Sevan podcast, but it's like Sevan is the one who really engineered.
Broke him down.
This massive fan club for the Colton Mertens Club. And he's given him the confidence to come out publicly like and be more talkative and be confident. Like, not that he wasn't before, but like, vocally confident post-workout interviews saying, I knew I was going to win that.
He crushes the post-workout interviews.
Like, and that wasn't always that way. And so I think hopefully that's an inspiration to other introverted athletes to say, hey, like, maybe I'm not walking around the event high-fiving everybody, but I've got a unique personality. And if I find a creative way to expose people to that, that will help you build a brand.
Yeah, he actually talked about that in our podcast about how Sevan helped him kind of find his way and like, give him the confidence to open up and start like talking more about his values and the things that he actually believes.
Sevan the Sage.
Sevan the Sage, dude. Man, I love that guy. I do. I don't know why, and excuse me for being ignorant in the CrossFit world, but I don't really understand why people hate him that much. I just don't. I think he's funny, and I think he, like, means super well. Everybody says stuff that,
yeah,
you know what I mean. So anyway,
I just think anybody that's generally, I use that word a lot, so I apologize, but
you're good.
Anybody that's super outgoing with their political beliefs, with their opinions, Sevan shares his thoughts a lot.
Yeah.
And we talked in the very beginning about that. Many people don't share their, expose the world to their thoughts, especially on a podcast, especially every day of the week.
Yeah.
And so I think some people are uncomfortable with that.
Well, it can be scary.
Yeah.
Right? Scared of getting canceled. You're scared of your livelihood being taken away or whatever. But I think ultimately, when you do share your real thoughts and stuff, especially if you're in a position like them, it creates a more genuine connection with your followers that you do have.
Yeah, you're going to, you know, you're going to polarize some people, but at the same time, it's like you create like a stronger bubble.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have raving fans, and you're going to have people that dislike you or hate you, but there's going to be very few in between that. You know what I mean? And that's just, you know, like there's many other media personalities that are, Hiller's much more down that, you know, narrow, like he's got a crazy following.
Yeah.
But if you don't like him, you probably hate him.
That's true. That,
you,
it seems
you loathe
to be true.
Him. I don't really love the word hate.
Yeah.
But, and you either love him or you loathe him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about real quick, because I know you're limited on time, and I really appreciate your time, too, on the podcast.
Sure.
How do you go about reaching out to brands for athletes? Or do they come to you and you're negotiating deals? What do deals look like? That's something that I'm really, really interested and curious about in this space.
Couple different ways, and I think it's probably a slightly different experience for different agents with different athletes, because there are certainly like the Noah Olsons and the Medeiroses, and you know that probably their DMs are like getting blown up.
Yeah.
And then there are some athletes that, you know, maybe you get 22nd at the games, you're not quite getting a million DMs, like the top 10 guys, the top 5 guys with a million followers. So it's probably different experiences based on the athletes that you have on your roster.
Mm.
So I can really only speak to my own experience, of course. But it's a little bit different for everybody. I'm super proactive, like to a fault, and very pragmatic. So when I begin to do something, especially vocationally, I always create systems around it. So for example, I'll just speak to like, I'll create a avatar for a new athlete that I'm bringing on board. It's a, we'll just say she's a female, 23, CrossFit Games rookie, got 20th at the games, right? Smack dab in the middle, she's got 100,000 followers. If I bring her on, we're originally gonna go through and I'm gonna learn as much about her. Before I even bring her on, I'm gonna probably right away know her open placement the past 3 years. I'm going to do my research on her and just have a profile that I've built around her.
Yep.
So I can know her as an athlete. Is she a heavy weightlifting athlete and I can gear her towards the two poods and some lifting shoes or whatever? Is she an endurance athlete? You know, so I'm going to find out who
their
she
profile.
Is, what she's about, where she's from, create a profile for her myself. Then we're going to get on a call and we're going to go through all the brand categories and what's your first, second, third, fourth, fifth favorite. And what's your least favorite? Like, what would you not? I don't want to call a brand and, you know, built a proposal. And she's like, no, I hate those grips. I don't want to wear those. And I'm like, I look like an idiot. So I'm going to find out what her first, second, third, fourth, fifth favorite are. And then I'm going to look at my Rolodex of contacts and see like, oh, I have I can text the guy from this company and I can call the gal from this company. So I'm going to look where my low hanging fruit is. And I'm going to reach out to those people and say, hey, I just started working with this athlete, Jane Doe. She got 20th at the games. You're probably familiar with who she is. She got 100,000 followers, average engagement rate of 6%. She's from this area. I think she fits your brand because of X, Y, and Z. Do you want to talk further? And so, and if it's somebody I know, it's probably going to be a little less formal than that.
Yeah.
But if it's a brand that I don't have a connection with, which as time goes on, there's less and less of those.
Sure.
But obviously more brands come into the space, so you got to make new connections.
Yep.
So if it's a new connect, like if she has a brand that's her favorite and I don't have a connection, I'm just going to go the old school sales route, like from back in the day when I worked for corporate health club chains and was trying to establish partnerships. I'm going to look at their website. I'm going to find a contact email. I'm going to email that contact email. I'm going to find an alternative contact email.
Yeah.
I'm going to email that one too. I'm going to send the athlete's deck that I've prepared. Like I build a little profile of all my athletes. I have a beautiful graphic made from Chad, who probably does some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Does all the Be Friendly stuff. Chad Mueller, shout out. He's the man. So I've got these decks built. I'll send their information and say, hey, I'd love to chat about bringing Jane Doe onto your team. I think she'd be a great brand representative. You know, a bright future in the CrossFit Games area. So that's kind of how I go about it. I'll also shoot them a DM. Say the same exact thing almost, just make it in DM format.
Yeah.
And then, again, I have like a system for follow-up. So if I don't hear back, 7 days later, I'm going to shoot a follow-up. People are busy. I understand that. And I'm one of many agents reaching out about many, many athletes.
Right.
So I just try to keep my messages at the top of their inboxes if I don't get a response. From there, get on a call, get to know each other, find out if it's a brand fit, find out if there's a reasonable proposal to make, like if we can create a win-win relationship, because that's what it's all about.
Yep.
It's like, can my athlete help this brand grow? And can this brand help support my athlete's journey? And can we build something together?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and then you check that off the box, and then you maintain that relationship, et cetera.
So you're like cold calling them, basically. Both
many
emails.
Times, yeah. Yeah. If I don't know them for sure.
Okay. So along with that, though, when you're bringing an athlete on, you find somebody, how important is it for you to figure out their values as a person and align them with yours?
Super important. It's not a make or break necessarily. I would say that because CrossFit's a relatively small sport, and we haven't had crazy criminals in the sport. You know what I mean? Like,
not
there's
yet.
Only 40 men and 40 women that get to go to the game. So it's a small pool mm-hmm. of games athletes. There are semifinalists that have agents, and I represent a few of them as well. But at the top, so not many of them have like crazy criminal backgrounds, or you know, not that like they deserve to be judged for that either. So usually it's fine. Like, I'm a Christian. It's nice when they're like, we have shared values there, but it's not like they have to be a Christian athlete for me to work with them or for me to be motivated to get them opportunities.
Sure.
So yeah, like I have my set of values, and if they align with most of those, but like one of my values is fitness.
Yep.
Another one is leadership. Faith is one, right? So like, for the most part, we share one of my most important values, and that's fitness, wellness. Like, so, but if they have more, that's just a plus. We usually get a little bit closer because of that.
Are there any, that's amazing. Are there any athletes that you have taken from, like, let's say they have 5,000 followers, and you're like, I believe in this person just as, maybe not even so much as an athlete, but I believe that you have a brand that could be shared with the world, and I want to help build you up to get to that point where, you know, brands are wanting to work with you?
So yes and no. I can't necessarily, like, I can't take the credit for any of it, really, because it comes down to them being themselves and then them continuing to do well in the CrossFit, the sport of CrossFit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when Ariel and I started working together, I think she had, like, 10 to 12,000 followers. And now, you know, somewhere around 100,000, I'm not really sure. But she got third at the games.
Yeah.
I can't take like an ounce of credit for her performances, but she continued to do her thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you could say subjectively that by me creating opportunities for her to earn a living full time, maybe that helped prop up her athletic performance, but that's so immeasurable.
Yeah.
But I guess she's a good case study. Like, not many people knew who she was, and now a whole lot of people know her as the fittest mom and fittest American mom, fittest on earth, you know, technically fittest mom on earth.
That's sick.
So that is, I guess, a case study of helping someone build their brand. But we've also, like, she's been my day one athlete, so we've been together a lot longer.
That's awesome. Well, how involved are you with, like, having the athletes post content? Are you on top of them to, like, we have a content schedule, let's book a shoot, let's book a video shoot, and then these are the days that you're going to post it, these are your obligations?
It depends on the athlete and their contracts. Every contract's a little different. I'm not calling them, well, if they're doing what they're supposed to, I'm not calling them about posting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to review a proposal, find a fair agreement with a brand, you know, partnership. Most of those partnerships have deliverables that are social posting, for example. Not all of them do, but many of them do, you know, one post a month, two posts a month, some stories. And in those posts, they want to see X, Y, and Z. So I'm going to share those with the athlete before we sign a contract and say, hey, is this agreeable to you? Yes, cool. Is this doable? Yes, cool, okay. And then I always suggest, like, let's put this in your calendar. Put it in your to-do list, however you manage your life.
Yeah.
And then set them free to execute on those deliverables themselves.
Nice.
You know, they are mostly grown-ups. I have one teenager. So,
yeah.
So yeah, like, I don't micromanage that. Now, sometimes we'll have a shoot. So, yeah, I am like, hey, we got to be at the shoot at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then after the shoot, make sure we're doing X, Y, and Z. But those are usually, like, very specific. Like, even Wadapalooza, we had 6 meet and greets yesterday. So that was more of a day where, like, you're explaining.
Yeah.
You're, hey, be here at 2.
Right.
Don't forget to wear this shirt. And after that, make sure you're, like, before it, make sure you put a story up. Speaking of agents in the space.
There you go.
Bijan. Also someone I get to learn a lot from.
Nice.
Because I live in Miami now.
Cool.
And Bijan's a member at the gym.
There's no drama between the agents in the space?
Not with
there's
me.
No
I
secret
can't say
fights
that there's
or
none.
Anything.
You know, I think we're all friendly, at least in person.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody talks about me behind my back, but yeah. I can't assume nobody does.
Right.
You know what I mean? I try to be friendly. But at the end of the day, we are all vying for the same. Like, it's a limited cash pool.
Yeah.
And we all have the same ambitions to get our athletes paid as much as they can get paid from a lot of the same brands. So I can't say that everyone's the best of friends with each other. I try to be friendly. I think I'm a small fish in a pond with some bigger fish. I'm not, you know, they're not whales or sharks to
right.
me. But so I, you know, hopefully I'm they're friendly with me, but yeah. I can't speak to how they are with each other by any means.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't have to micromanage their deliverables unless maybe it's a special event or something like that.
Okay, cool. And then, yeah, I guess the last question, because again, I want to respect your time. Where do you want to take this? Where do you see this going in the future? Do you want to manage like more mainstream type of athletes, maybe basketball, football? Or are you just kind of going with the flow, you're finding success, and you're just going to keep going down the road you've been on?
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a go-with-the-flow guy. I am a very much like a planned guy. However, since this part of my professional life has been so organic, and because most professional sports, you do need a law degree. Like, you know, the contract to...
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, contract law. Like, you know, you have to have more of an education to be in NBA, NFL. That doesn't mean you can't arrange some agreements with some professional athletes, but I don't know all the details by memory, but probably to work with like these official sports and to be recognized like probably on some type of NBA agent, NFL agent catalog. Like you need a law degree, and so
okay.
That would be great if organically I made my way that way. But I'm so entrepreneurial to a fault that I like to be involved in multiple things. It's stimulating for me to jump off of a consulting call with a business client in Atlanta to talk about events, you know, that they're doing, to jumping on a separate call with a brand in the CrossFit space and talk about an athlete. That's stimulating for me. And then later on, go to Peak 360 and coach 2 or 3 classes because I also coach CrossFit.
Oh, dope. That's
and
cool.
Do some personal training. So to be a full-time agent isn't my ambition. But if my work builds up to a place where that is what I'm doing, then I wouldn't be mad about it.
That's awesome, man.
My ambition right now to answer your question is to service the clients that I currently have as well as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, they're not all full-time paid athletes quite yet because I've taken on some new athletes in the past year. So it's like I don't really have any ambitions of doing other things until they're all paid.
That's amazing. That's cool, dude. Well, hey, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with me. I really value your time. I appreciate it. So I'm going to let you get back to your athletes. Plug anything that you want to plug real quick.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Paper Street Coffee.
Paper Street. Let's go.
Honestly, like, I love it when they bring their espresso to events because I'm an espresso guy.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, man. Shout out to everybody that I probably name dropped on the podcast. Shout
That's
out
great.
To
love the
all
name
my
drops.
Athletes that give me the opportunity to work with them. And thank you for having me on, bro.
Thank you, bro. Like, subscribe, do all that. We'll see y'all in the next one.